This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Write It Up, the podcast all about the ins, the outs, and the in-betweens of self-publishing. I am P.E. Craven and I am your host, but you can call me Paige. I am an epic romantic fantasy author and I'm really excited that you're here. If you are a longtime listener, watcher on YouTube, you'll notice that the setup is a little different. I'm in my bed, I'm in my jammies, and that is kind of par for the course for quarter three, or October at least. Quarter three was huge, and so I took a bit of a rest. We didn't do our mini series early this month because I just needed the rest. So it was good. I did a lot of conventions. I did some in-person book signings at some local bookshops. Launched my third book. It's going really well. And got lots of creative inspiration, met tons of authors, met a bunch of authors that I really love, and people I've been mutuals with on social media, but hadn't met them in real life. So that was really special. But yeah, it was really great, but really busy. We also, started back to school, day job has started back. And so that just adds another layer to the busyness. So overall, it's been great. I'm really excited to be working on some new projects. And also, I have a newsletter running, a giveaway for my newsletter. It closes on the 1st, so you are just in time to get entered. All you have to do is apply or subscribe to my newsletter, and you can win the pair of the special editions for Realm Leaper and Windwalker. So if you're interested, go do that. Otherwise, I'm so excited you're here today. It's a great episode. We're talking to Thea Vicious who I met on Instagram. She is a cosplayer. Just great, great interview on how you can use cosplayers for marketing as an indie author, or how you can use cosplaying yourself to help start a new approach to marketing, which I think is just brilliant. And she gives so many great pointers, how to get started in it, some great resources, and overall, she's just really just a beautiful person, and talking to her was a joy. So I'm really excited for you guys to jump in and start listening to this episode. And without further ado, welcome to the show. Today we have Thea Green, a cosplayer, on with us, and we are super excited to have her because she does amazing work for several independent authors, including myself, and we are so happy to have her. Welcome to the show, Thea.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. I cannot wait.
Yay! So a little background. Thea has worked with my series, the Realm Leaper series, before, and has mainly portrayed the main character Sage in her work, but she works with a ton of other self-published authors as well, and then she does her own cosplaying on the side. So before we really get into all of that, as a little icebreaker, Thea, can you tell us what your favorite trope is?
So I don't think that I have a favorite trope. I will never decide to read a book based off of a trope list alone, but I will decide to read a book based off of quotes. So, but if I had to choose one that usually doesn't fail, probably True Enemies to Lovers, where they're actually trying to physically unalive each other. Like, they want to. There is no love at the beginning.
I love it. Yes. I tend to find myself more enjoying, rather than the enemies to lovers, I really like the academic rivals to lovers.
I love that too. I just recently read a really good one. The name is just gone out of my brain as soon as I said that. But yes, that is a good one too.
Yeah, that one's always, I don't know if maybe it harkens back to some of the books I read as a teenager that just like really inspired me, but that's some of my favorites. Okay, so normally my second follow-up question, because I interview a lot of independent authors, normally I would ask, why self-publishing? But as a cosplayer, you work with a lot of independent authors. So I'm curious what draws you to independent authors and their work. Is there something that really makes that experience special for you?
Yes, there definitely is. There's quite a few things that make it special. I think one of the biggest points is that I notice for the most part, and I won't say always, I'll never say always, but for the most part, in traditional published books, there is a scheme. So once you get into the scheme of that particular genre, it'll always be point A equals point B, and then we get to C, and it will keep doing it over and over again. Like, you can see that for, I guess the best example is ACOTAR. You can guess. And I think with independent publishing, I find more surprises in the book, more things that I did not guess. And I feel like the writing is more intuitive. It's conversations I've had with authors where their process isn't, the end goal isn't to get every reader to like their book. The end goal is for them to write something different that they enjoyed, that they wanted, the experience they wanted to have. And I think the other thing that I really enjoy about independent publishing is there's more opportunity to work one-on-one with an author and get to know and experience their words personally in a conversation that you have. There's more open communication for now.
Yeah, I would say, especially as an independent author is kind of newer on the scene, they definitely have a little bit more availability to their readership. I would say in my experience, most independent authors go out more. You will find them at more face-to-face events than a traditionally published author. So they're a lot more accessible if you become a fan of an author, I would say.
You can reach out and, you know, maybe 90% of the time they'll reach back out and be like, I'm so happy that you enjoyed it. Thank you for reading. Even like, yeah, that might be the only response you get, but you got a response and it's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, so before we really dive in, I think probably 50% of our audience will know what cosplaying is, but I think there's probably a decent amount of people who don't understand that term. So can you break down what cosplaying is?
Yeah, so cosplaying is playing around in costume, kind of like what you did when, I mean, not everybody, if you grew up and you put on, you know, somebody else's clothing and, you know, played around with crowns or, you know, jewelry or really any item that's not you, that's cosplaying. So even as kids, if you played dress up, you were cosplaying at its very beginning form, which is really cool. So as an adult, you know, you're getting to play again.
I love that. It's, to me, it kind of like is the difference between like just dressing up on Halloween and storytelling. Like there's a storytelling element to cosplay that isn't there if you're just wearing a costume on Halloween or, you know, like at a dress up party. There's that little bit of storytelling that comes to it.
The acting that's involved in it. And some cosplayers will tell a story and some cosplayers won't. Like it was just about making the costume. Like that is like the sole importance of this particular character. It was just about the costume. And somebody else is just like, no, it's immersive. Like we're going to start at the very, I like to do it this way, very beginning of the story. And we're going to go from this costume all the way to the very end. So that whether you realize it or not, I've taken you through every point of
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Story without hopefully spoilering it for you.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so speaking of going back to the beginning, let's go back to the beginning for you. So how did you get into cosplaying? And I know you do a lot of romantic fantasy. So I have a follow-up question to that. So how did you get into cosplaying? And also, what draws you to playing the characters in romantic fantasies?
So I grew up on acting from the time I was five. I was already reading at a high level. And so that started out my love for books. I've always loved books and I've always loved being able to play and just be completely taken away by anything else but reality. My beginning years of school, I was in a private school that focused on ballet and theater. And so it was never going to be anything else. I like lived and breathed it and I still do. I stopped acting, after college. There are just some circumstances that happened and I was not able to do it. I was not in a good headspace. 3 years ago, I was talking to my sister who is also a cosplayer. Her handle is Paracus. So you'll find her on social media too. She's into anime cosplaying and I have experienced her world of cosplaying. And I told her about a few series that I really liked that I wanted to play those characters. And she was like, well, why don't you just do it? And I was just like, well, what if I'm the only one? She like pulled up a bunch of counts. She's like, you're not the only one. She's like, but. And I had a really bad birthday in December. And I was just like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I want to find a community of people who like will inspire me to create. Sorry, I'm tearing up. That was random. I don't know. So that's what jump-started my account is my sister and a really bad birthday. I did not have anything planned ahead of time for characters either. So I just dove into it without knowing at all what I was doing. I just did it.
I love that. I mean, I don't love that you had a bad birthday, but I do think that is a really great point that there's a very rich community with cosplaying, and especially the bookish, maybe not especially, but in my experience, the bookish cosplaying community seems very rich. It just seems like there's a lot of different people who are involved in it and who really enjoy collaborating and spending time together, building those experiences. So I love that you were able to find a community that really helped you find some joy.
The bookish community, it really, I did not expect to make any friends. I certainly did not expect to work with any authors at all. That was never the biggest expectation. It just was to make friends with people that liked what I liked. So, but yeah, I still have a list of the first people that followed me, and they still follow me, which is really cool.
That's amazing. So what is it that really draws you to romantic fantasy characters?
It's never on purpose that I choose romantic fantasy. All the characters that I'm drawn to that I cosplay are all very strong and willful. Some of the characters that people are just like, man, they're annoying and they're so mean, and I'm just like, I like it. It's awesome. I wish I could say that and get away with it. Or, you know, I wish I had the freedom. I let myself have the freedom to stop masking up and just be like, this is how it is. No. So all the characters that I cosplay are very strong and empowered. They're not the ones that are going to have somebody else do it for them. They're going to do the work.
I love that. Yeah. And I think that's really powerful too, because since this is, you know, storytelling and portraying a character, it's kind of like a moment to try out some of these traits that maybe we
want. I feel like I take some with me along the way. Even if it's something small, I try to I'm going to keep that. I'll save that for later.
That's amazing. I love that so much. Okay, so since you first started, do you remember the first character you did in your account? Who was your first character?
So I'm going to say two, because one was a traditionally published character, and another is my first indie character. So the first character that I did that's traditionally published is Poppy, and I never cosplayed her again because I felt bad after I cosplayed her, and I needed to feel bad because the whole point of art is, not the whole point, but a huge point is representation. Mm-hmm. And there's only a select few characters that get represented in books. And typically they're all small. I mean, a friend growing up, I'm still friends with her. She's 6 foot. How many 6 foot characters are FMCs are there for her? So we would always share our reading, and I would be like, oh my gosh, here you go. She's tall like you here. And this is the main character. So for Poppy, she is supposed to be, you know, voluptuous and curvy and beautiful. I'm not. So I stopped cosplaying her because I didn't want to misrepresent and have people read that book and not go into it fully seeing how the character is supposed to be. So she was my first. Still love her. And I have loved all the cosplayers that have done her. And then my first traditionally published, I'm sorry, indie published, is Ahaya from Hellfire. I still cosplay her. And that was the first indie author to ever follow me. immediately that day when I cosplayed her, she followed me and she's supported me ever since.
That's amazing. I bet. How did that feel? I bet that felt pretty empowering.
I cried.
I love that.
I cried like a baby. I was like, what?
But you don't.
It didn't matter.
That's amazing. Okay. So since you started, how has your process changed? Because how long have you been doing this now?
For, it'll be 4 years in December.
Okay. So in the last 4 years, what are some things that have changed in your process of cosplaying characters?
I think a lot has changed, probably more than I can think of right now. So I'm sure later I'll be like, wow, this, and this. But I fine-tuned, especially for cosplay tours, because we only get so much time together. So I fine-tuned the moments that I'm looking for to cosplay that I know people would want to see. They would want to see those moments, and those are the moments that people are going to be like, I'm going to read that book because of that moment. So that's been a little bit more fine-tuned, instead of me being selfish and being like, this is what I want, but this is really what you want to see. Mm-hmm. And that's great. I had so much time to experience this. You're only going to get a few seconds. So, and I think that I have fine-tuned for me personally, the books that I choose to cosplay. I do a lot more research on, the author. It's not just about me liking a character. I want to like the person that wrote it. So I do.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Because I don't want to cosplay for someone who supports AI. So before I read something, especially if it's a book that's like really hyped up, I will look at your page and I'll scroll through and I'll see the interaction and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then I become a lot more comfortable with creating my own costume pieces as time has gone by. So I think those are probably the things I can think of right now that I fine-tuned or they've become better. So I know more. So I know I'm not good at sewing on a sewing machine, so I'm not going to. I'm doing it by hand. It's what I can do. So it's faster for me to just sew by hand, and that's okay. There's no shame in it. I don't feel shame anymore.
Oh, that's good. Okay, yeah. So let's break down the process for an author who wants to hire you for a book tour, and what that would look like. Because you do quite a lot for the indies who have you cosplaying their character. So can you run through the process of what that would look like if an independent author wanted to have you cosplay one of their characters?
So the first process after I've been contacted, whether that's through a DM on Instagram or through email, if they have not filled out the Google form that I have, I'll have them fill that out. And that's really mainly for me to keep track because I'm ADHD. And so my brain, once I get hyper-focused on something, whether it's reading or a costume, I need reminders. And so that form is mainly for me. It tells me, which book it is, or if I'm doing all of the books in the series. It tells me the character. It tells me basic information about who the character is, like from your eyes, your perspective. Music is a huge part of my experience, so I have a question for music. That gives me an idea of, maybe vibes, possibly. And then I have at the very end a spot where you can tell me about yourself. And that could be anything you want to tell me at all. You could tell me your ADHD too, and then I'll be like, great, really good company. We're going to work really fine together. And then after that, and I've gone through that, I'll ask, questions before going in to read the book about, what they're comfortable contact-wise through email or through social media. If there's any moments that, like, chapters they want me to specifically look at while I'm reading. And then after that, they'll either send me the ebook, a physical book, or both. And I'm a speed reader, so typically I'll get through like a 300 to 400 page book in a day. The only time that would be slowed down is if like something's going on at work that I do outside of everything, and I'm just like, I could not read this right now. So that typically doesn't take very long. And then I will reach out to the author and tell them the moments that I really liked and like what I annotated. And I'll ask them, I really like this dress. This dress is so cool. Would you want to see this dress? I want to see this dress. And then we'll kind of go shopping together for costume pieces. And, we'll be like, yay, or be like, no, like, let's see if we can find something better. And then, wigs, we'll go through wig colors. Contacts, not so much, because there's just only so much you can do with contacts. Unfortunately, they are always shipped overseas. And so it takes forever to get here. I had a set of contacts from TDI. And it took 2 months to get to me because of something that was going on. I wouldn't be able to tell you specifically what. So we can't really wait on contacts. I own mm-hmm. every single color that just might not be the perfect shade. So right. until we have a warehouse here, maybe someday, contacts, we go basic color. This is green. This is blue. And this is pink and red and so on and so forth. So once we get all of that figured out, I will also start going through trending audios, because we need to have at least two things that are trending. It gives the author and me a chance to actually get seen in the algorithm, especially now, because there's been a recent update. So me knowing that, I know that it's going to be 10 times harder for us to get views. And I mean, a generalized us. So I will take time to go through every audio that I can go through to see what works and is trending. And then for static posts, we can use one song that we choose. But even then, it's not a good idea. But we can choose one song that is not trending, that we're just like, this is the song. Whatever happens, happens. It's fine. And so once all of that gets approved, then after all of that has come in as well for costumes, then we get into filming. And so after I have you know, filmed, and I'll send them as I go. We'll talk about, you know, if they're superpowers, you experience this, you're like, take mm-hmm. that away, maybe add that in. So we'll talk about the effects as well and be like, yes, no. So everything is curated, personal for each author and how they visualize what is going on in their book.
Yeah. And I will say you take very special care and attention in finding pieces that work for the character.
I try to.
You have a really good eye for humor, too, like finding the moments that are humorous and then aligning a sound that kind of matches that feel. They might not be exactly what's happening in the story, but it gives that same feeling
when you're reading it.
Yeah. Which is really fun because there's times where when we have worked together, you'll pick out something. You're like, oh, I really want to do this. And in my author brain, I'm like, I did not even expect somebody to really pick up on that. And, you know, that's like,
I love that, though. That's like the best, though, I would want somebody to pick up on those like tiny moments. And like, I hyper fixate on so many things. I feel like it's the one time that like it's a superpower because I'm just like, this tiny detail, it matters to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's fantastic. So when you go about crafting your cosplay for a character, what are some of the things that you look for when you are creating their essence? Because like sometimes you might have character art for the characters. Sometimes you might even have like a Pinterest board or something, but then sometimes you might not have anything. You might only have the text. So how do you work to kind of pull that essence out of the text?
So I'm trying to figure out how to describe that. So I have the opposite, and I feel like I'm going to say this word wrong because like I don't think I've ever said this word out loud before. So I would have the opposite of aphantasia, where you can't visually see things. Yes. I have the opposite of that. I think there's a term for it. It's hyper, and I think it means the opposite. So when I'm reading something, I visually, like, I am seeing in my head, how I picture it. It's not necessarily maybe how you pictured it when you wrote it, which is why we talk about it. Because I'm like, I pictured this. And you're just like, no. Or you're like, yeah, me too. So I vividly can picture in my head specific details. So I already am like, now I just need to find this costume because this is how it looks to me. Like for Filthy Rich Vampires, I have never talked to Geneva Lee or anything like that. It's one of my favorite series, though. And there's like a moment where she's using her powers. I won't say what they are. She has on like this dress and I'm just like, it looks like this.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
And so I'm just like searching for like colors like on the internet. And I'm just like, it's that. That's me. That's the dress. That's what it looks like. Or it's a dress that I can make it look like that. And so it's not expensive. And I'm just like, I can add this to it. And then it'll look like hopefully how I want it to look.
Yeah, I love that. And I would bet most authors experience writing in a similar way, where we have visualized what is happening. And so I would, most authors are probably going to be like, oh yeah, yes or no, very, very clearly, because we,
I worked with an author, that never pictures anything. Like they just like will, you know, look up, like, I'm trying to think, like things that have happened in like a TV show or a movie, and not to like recreate that, but to get the motion. And they're just like, how did I pick, like, what with that? And they'll like go through it like that, because mm-hmm. they know that it's like a fighting scene, but they don't know, they don't have any visual for it. So they'll, you know, go through it that way, because they're like, I can't picture this. So there, like, there has been one. And like after that, I started noticing, like, and I'm not going to say like names or anything like that, because that's like putting somebody on the spot. But there are some authors that commission art, because before finishing the book, before like really doing anything with the book, so that they can picture what they think mm-hmm. this could look like. So the artist is given a generalized idea, and, you know, if it's Ekath, she's just like, okay, these are the vibes. This vibe for you? And so the author would be like, yeah, I didn't even know that's what I was going for. This is it. Cool. Now I'm going to write that.
Very cool. Man, I would have never expected that.
It's really so neat, wild. Though. It's like such a different yeah. process. And like, so I learned something new, like each tour, I feel like. I'm just like, I had no idea. You're so
yeah. cool.
Okay. All right. I'm looking this up.
That's so cool. So when you do a traditionally published character and you're going, because you do, one thing that I love to see you do is when you take somebody else's character art.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do, too. If I had it my way, most of my account would be like that. But I feel like I feel like eventually people would be like, make your own art. And I'm just like, but yeah, you're right. There's like no argument for that. But yes, I think that's probably my biggest inspiration this year, and a little bit of light, because it started last year, like in the fall. Like that's what kept me going, was like art. Like I still think what I do is art, but it's like not the same thing. Like
it's just a different style of art.
It's just not the same. And so, you know, I have my favorite artists, and when I see them across, like come across my feed, I'm like, dang it, I want to do that, babe. Maybe someday, like later. But I try to make it at least a little bit different, whether it's like a slight variation on the costume, especially if it's headcanon, because I don't ever want anybody to feel like I'm taking something away from them that like belongs to them. And I don't know if anybody would ever feel that way, but I don't want that to happen. And so I do try to create something a little bit different. So they're just like, cool, I've got my thing and you've got yours. Mm-hmm. And I always try to make sure to tag them in it so that they can see it if they want to, and put the original in my stories. Because I do know, and I feel like a lot of people that I've seen lately don't realize that there are a lot of artists that their contract with people, whether you're an author or not, is you cannot change anything about that image at all. They could seek, they could sue you for doing that. Mm-hmm. So in my brain, that means that if I were to do my cosplay and then post your art next to it, and let's say for whatever reason that day, Instagram post, your art, Grammy, that's still changing your art. That's not how it's supposed to look. And I noticed that people will also put filters over an original art piece without showing the original, which you'll notice with Sarah A. Parker. She always posts both.
Right.
So the one for her feed, and that's why. So for anybody that would do this, I definitely recommend, one, not doing your cosplay over an art piece, like putting yourself on the art piece without explicit permission from the artist telling you to do it. And I would not post the art on the same post as your cosplay, because if there's any alterations to it, I feel like that is insulting and could be a whole legal issue, which is why I post mine up in my stories where it's, this is exactly how it is. There are no alterations, no changes to it whatsoever. Because you don't know what the artist feels. You don't know what their contracts are, what they've been through. And I feel like that's like the safest option.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think anybody getting into cosplay needs to do some just general familiarization with cosplaying, because there have been events that have got in trouble because they've used copyrighted characters and images for their marketing. And, you know,
like with ACOTAR.
Right.
So they so she now has an agreement with IMG, which means that, I mean, it means a lot. So, yes, if you are using her characters for a book convention.
Right. You owe her some royalties.
If they wanted to and you're not licensed, that would be very bad.
Right. Yeah. Which is fair because she created
that. When I say this, I'm not like it is so fair to do that, because this belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me or anybody else. And you deserve to have your stuff the way that you want it to be. Just like I want my stuff. I don't want people messing with my stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how cosplay can be an effective marketing tool for especially self-published authors. How do you feel that cosplay can offer indie authors something different when it comes to marketing? Because that is by far the hardest uphill battle that indie authors face, is the marketing component.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that's helpful about it is not necessarily that, and I'll get into that part too, is not necessarily that I'm cosplaying your character, is that you have somebody else looking at your book. Whether that's me or anybody who is passionate for indie authors alike, everybody, not just a specific indie, but indie authors in general. Anybody who has that and is willing to take the time to look at somebody's book, it gives you another set of eyes. And it also can hype you up to know that you're going in the right direction. And then as far as cosplaying goes, I think this isn't for everybody, because it does fall on the line of, you know, some people like character art and some people hate it. It's like a 50-50. So on books, sometimes people will not buy a special edition book because it has a character, because they want to visualize the character how they did in their brain. However, that being said, there are some people that they need to, like with the movie trailer, they need to know, you know, and what they're getting into, and they need to feel more immersed into that. And sometimes having a cosplayer can make you feel something that you otherwise couldn't feel from just seeing a quote. Now you kind of get to experience it just like a little bit. And I feel like it's that way for audiobooks. It's like a whole other level of experience in reading.
Yes, I really love that point too, because not every independent author has the bandwidth to produce an audiobook, but a cosplay.
Maybe, yeah.
Somebody doing cosplay, that could be a way to pique somebody's interest in the kind of this lead lane
way.
Right.
I agree. And that's why I always go back to that one, is because maybe there's what you said, maybe there's not an audiobook yet, but there could be. Mm-hmm. There could be with like enough readers, enough want. There could be later down the line. And what if, you know, having somebody visually see something is like the difference between them reading something or adding it to their TBR versus not, or following you.
Right. Yeah. I also do feel like cosplay offers a little bit of a chance to get the vibes, or like the almost like the aesthetic feeling of a book, while still having some curiosity. So it's just enough for somebody to want to go, I want to know what that is about. And then maybe click a link or go search the title somewhere. I think it's a really effective way of getting people at least curious about your work.
And I think it's fun for the author too. Like, I think besides the marketing, I know for a lot of authors, based off of like things that they've said, not just about me, but like for other cosplayers, maybe that was the first cosplay. Like maybe like Alex cosplayed your character and that was on your bucket list. You never thought, like the general, you never thought somebody was going to cosplay your character. It was like a dream. Like it at that point didn't matter if every single person seeing that was going to read your book. Like, dang, that's my character.
Yeah.
Check.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It does feel, as somebody who has used this before, it does feel really special to see your character come to life. There's one scene in particular in the Romley Press series that you did, and it's like this argument between Sage and Gavin, and just seeing you, it wasn't even the right, you know, like the sound doesn't really fully align with the scene. But just seeing the energy portrayed was such a fulfilling experience. Like 10 out of 10. I absolutely, it gives you this like full circle feeling, like this moment of completion where you see your characters kind of in flesh and blood. And yeah. It's a really, really special experience.
And I think that, back to the question earlier, I think that's the other enjoyment that I get out of cosplaying for indie authors, is because I feel like it's a way to like give back, because you do see all of these traditionally published authors, especially the ones that are hyped up, and like, I don't mean that in a bad way, hyped up, but, you know, they're very, very, they're a TikTok sensation. And you see all these indie authors that are just as good, but they're not in every reader's hands right now. But they deserve to have people cosplaying their characters too, just like this person over here, because it's not about one being better than the other. They're just as good. It's just one is traditionally published and one is not.
Right. Yeah. So, in your experience, have you seen a direct impact in your work with an author's, I don't want to say success, but like their experience overall? In a little bit, I mean success. You know, we want to know, is there a correlation between either engagement or visibility, but also their experience of getting their book out? Have you experienced that yourself?
I know, because I never ask. I probably should, but it's something that I have not asked, and it's not because it's not something that I've thought of, but I also don't want an author to feel like their success is built upon X, Y, and Z happening. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's idea of success is different. So maybe this person, their idea of success is 10 reviews. And then maybe this person, their idea of success is 50. Everybody's idea, and that's just a small example, right, is different. And maybe this person, their idea of success is a few people commenting on a post, and it's people they've never interacted with, or, you know, somebody following them because of something that we did together. And so I have yet to be able to formulate a question like that to, mm-hmm, without it denying the success of something else and taking that away.
And I think that's why I was hoping I could come up with a different word, because success is so vague.
It's so and relative. So, like, it is. Right. And I never thought about it that way until somebody pointed it out to me, because I asked like a similar question in reference to something else. And they were just like, well, what do you mean? And, mm-hmm, I was just like, what does that mean to me? And I was like, well, it means this to me. They're like, well, it means this to me. And they weren't being like mean or anything like that, right, at all. And I was just like, huh. Yeah. I mean, just, yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, of course. My idea of success is going to be very different than yours. My expectations are going to be very different than yours. And so, it is a hard question to ask.
Yeah.
I don't know how to, even me saying, do you think that like us working together was successful? Even if I said that in a voice note, I feel like that could be taken as like, do you think we should continue on together? Like from a corporate standpoint, when I'm just like, did it work okay for you? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? I guess that's the question. Are you satisfied?
Right.
I feel like satisfied is good. Are you satisfied with what we accomplished together? Mm-hmm. And be prepared for, you know, what that response may be. But every author that I've worked with, even if somebody told me directly that this was like, and they had proof to show me that this is why this happened, their success is still like, their success is just because of them. Like, I was like a small part in that, but it was in no way just because of something that I did. That would be impossible. Yeah. And so, like, even if there was a circumstance and somebody was just like, look at this, and this happened exactly after this, like, it's still, like, it's your success and nobody else's, which is great. It's what you want.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. So I can add some of the ways that I have seen in my experience. Definitely engagement goes up. I definitely get more followers on my Instagram page. And I don't use TikTok quite as much. So
I don't either. I still haven't figured it out, and I haven't put time into it either, because like I'm so hyper focused on Instagram.
Right.
That...
Right. Well, and there's millions and millions of people on Instagram. So it's not even like, you know, it's not a waste to just focus on one.
But everybody's just like, you should post on every single platform.
Right.
It took all of my energy to post. It's taking all of my energy to do it here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I am physically able to do the other.
Right. Yeah, I do. I'll cross post sometimes, but it's very chaotic. And, you know, I've learned to accept that I'm not going to do everything and be okay with it. Because, like...
That's hard, though.
Yeah. But I tell myself, I'm like, you know what? I don't like everything on my pizza. Like, if I had a pizza with absolutely everything on it, I would be miserable because I wouldn't want to eat it. So I also don't have to do everything in real life either. Because then I'm probably not going to be happy.
No, because now you're going to be like, now I have to moderate both of you.
Right. Right. So that's kind of, I, you know, just a little side piece of wisdom.
Which I definitely need, because I'm just like, we will do everything.
Right. And then you don't feel good about it.
You're not even happy with everything that you did.
Yeah,
you can't even enjoy everything that you did.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're just moving on to the next thing because now you have three different platforms that you have to manage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why, like, for me, TikTok is just chaos. I just, like, throw things out there. Yeah. I'm like, here, take this.
How do you like me now?
Yeah, exactly. You get what you get over there. Instagram is still a little chaotic. I'm still definitely. Yeah.
It just is all the time. And I'm just like.
I think just showing up. Right. Oh, yeah. Are we special?
You don't like that? You don't like that? Okay. I'll take less time and not hashtag. You like me now. Cool. Until I do need to use hashtags again, in which case I'll definitely know. You will tell me because nobody's going to like me today.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. Anyways. The problem, though, in my experience, is that social media is the most accessible form of marketing for independent authors. And judging between running ads on Amazon, even doing stuff with Google, Meta platforms are extremely affordable for running ads, and developing content is fairly inexpensive, almost always free. And so it's just a really super accessible way to get your platform and get your work out in front of people, which is one of the reasons why I think your platform is so genius, because it's just adding another layer of the types of marketing that we can do on this platform.
There's so many cosplayers that besides me that would be willing to do that, because it's certainly not it's not just me. I can think of several that if they had like enough notice that they would be willing to help out.
Yeah. So when you are working with an author, or if you are just cosplaying in general, is there anything about the process that you think the general public doesn't understand, or they don't realize, or maybe they underestimate about the process of cosplaying?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Probably a lot.
When you're not doing something, it is hard to have the same appreciation that I have or that any creator has, anybody. And it doesn't matter. I could show you the hours. I could show you, and I have, and it doesn't matter. Because it's a flight of fancy, because I just sped everything up that I did for a month, maybe. So you could see that in a few seconds. So you're still processing what I did within the span of a seconds. So it still doesn't compute that I had this sitting on the back burner for a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long it took me to get to what you're seeing right now. And that's usually because of a costume, not necessarily editing. Editing does take time, don't get me wrong. And it does depend on, you know, the layers and the nuances that you're adding in for it. But I definitely wish that for any creator, not just for me, because there are so many creators that I see that are so at the point of ready to give up because of the lack of engagement. And I don't mean likes. I mean, somebody, you know, just taking time to make a few, like just a few seconds to comment and be like, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to not feel down when you have spent, and I'm always going to use a month because you've spent a month on this. This is your baby. But, you know, it goes back to something that somebody else told me is that that was my expectation. And this person and this person's that somebody's going to care as much as you do. But you're the one that worked on it. So you can't expect others to feel exactly how you did making it because they didn't make it, you know. So as much as I wish that there was more appreciation for the end result, because behind the scenes, this took me this amount of time, there can't be. Mm-hmm. It is an unreasonable expectation. I still have it, but which is why I do have my broadcast channel, is just so that a select few people, because I can manage that,
mm-hmm.
a select few people that chose to be in there can be like, I know what's going to happen before so-and-so knows what's going to happen. But they still can see that this is how I made something, even if it doesn't compute the length of time, depending on what I've shown.
And
they can still be like, I could make that, which is cool. So that's better than, you know, no appreciation. There's the appreciation that you could take the time to do that. And that's great.
Yeah. I feel like because we both have a background in dance, it reminds me of being a dancer and seeing, like, I'm just thinking of Natalia Osipova, who is a prima ballerina for the Royal Ballet Theater, and she's a beast. She's like,
she's freaking incredible.
Right. Yeah. She's like Simone Biles, but for ballet. And you know, somebody sees her and they just see an incredible athlete and, right, like she's just,
it's pretty.
Right.
It's pretty.
And they see her tall jumps and then people.
You don't know what it takes to be able to do that, but you're not supposed to.
Right.
It's like a magician type of thing. It's like you only know if you know. If you know, right. You know. But if you don't, like, I just pulled off the greatest magic trick ever and it looked effortless and you don't know. But ultimately, especially for ballet, it is supposed to just be like breathing. You're not supposed to know, you know, how hard everything else is working to fight gravity and defy like the laws of physics, because that is what dance is. It's just like you thought that this was all your threshold. We're going to push you past what you thought your threshold was, because that's nowhere near what right. you could do if you just forget that you're not supposed to be able to do this. This right. is not supposed to. We're going to do this.
Yes.
It may take you a year to be able to get to this part, but this is what it takes to be here. And so that's a really great comparison, because yes, it's exactly like that. And it's kind of beautiful in a way, because like as a kid, you know, I believe in magic because I saw this person flying on stage, and my perception, they were flying on stage.
Yes.
They were not flying on stage, but it's sort of magical. So I guess I wouldn't change anything about it, you know, because I'm just grateful that anybody is going to see what I did. Even if I can't see, you know, how it had value to somebody else, it doesn't mean it didn't.
Right.
I just don't know that it did.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody decided to cosplay and I will never know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's one of the hardest parts of art. And I believe writing is art. It follows so many.
No, there's so many things that are art. Like,
yeah.
being a scientist, there's like an art to it.
Right.
There can be an art to it, especially when you are passionate about what you're doing. To me, that is art. Having passion for the field that you're in is an art form because you have broken it down so many times to have people just see this, but it was this.
Right. To create something. You have created something out of something.
Yeah.
Like
somebody else
it's that metamorphosis.
I could do that. So cool.
Yes. So I will say, I believe your services are very affordable. And I think there's a lot of other cosplayers that are also very affordable for independent authors. But in case there is somebody who is really working with, you know, a $0 budget.
Yeah.
If you could give advice to an author who is inspired by your work or the work of other cosplayers, and maybe they want to do some cosplaying of their characters themselves.
Okay.
What are some things that you could give advice on, like where to start, how to feel confident portraying a character, because that's part of it. What is some advice you would give to authors who are thinking about doing this for their own work?
My first thing is that I think a lot of people say this and they don't mean it. But I truly do mean that if anybody ever has personal questions at any time of the day about a cosplay item, I will answer them. And I have. I've answered them for someone in a rep team. They wanted a wig. They just wanted a wig. They wanted a good wig. And so, like, I privately messaged her and we went shopping together back and forth for wigs and prices and everything. If anybody ever directly had a question, I am so happy to answer it one-on-one, whether we know each other or not. We don't have to know each other. But I think for me, what makes me feel like I am in character is wigs. Always. I will take extra time with wigs. And then my sister, she styles wigs for people. She's so talented. It's insane. Like her work.
I will send them her work.
Her work on Rapunzel, that wig, the layers of the amount of time that that takes. So much appreciation. But I think that wigs can completely alter how somebody looks. So I think that taking more time with your wig as somebody and getting the wig that you actually want is worth the investment, and everything else kind of falls into place because you can always do, you know, canon moments with your character with the clothing you already have. Whereas if your character has blue hair, it might be worth it to invest in a nice wig that you can, you know, use forever. And so lace front wigs are what I use. I prefer those. So I do get questions sometimes on how to cut the lace because that's intimidating. But you can look on YouTube and there's a ton of people that will show you how to cut a lace front wig. So that's personally when somebody asks me questions, I will usually ask them if they're considering a wig and then kind of go from there. And then when it comes to, and you can rent wigs too. So if you're not ready.
That's good information.
Yeah, you can rent wigs. You can rent costumes. Of course, you want to find something that is local. So it might require a bit more research. But you, like, for people who do, like, Disney princess stuff, sometimes it's rented. It's not. Usually the costume is rented at, like, bare minimum. The wig, like, if you mess it up, of course, you're going to have to pay for that. So that's the other thing to consider. And then, like, off of the wigs, so costume piece-wise, there's actually two cosplayers. I don't want to say their handle because I don't want to feel like I put them on blast. There are two cosplayers that I'm friends with that I did not know that this off-seller site existed. And it's for clothing that people wore once, or they made this and this is their way of getting noticed. Either way, it's like recycled in some way, shape, or form. So you can go on there, kind of like eBay, and you can negotiate on price on some of these like incredible looking ball gowns that you could get for like maybe $30. I saw one for $30 actually a couple of days ago that was full tulle, full sleeve, like flowers on it. Like it looked way more. It looked like something you'd buy like for $150. So I think that people assume that you have to buy from an actual, like, you know, cosplay company or an actual like ball gown company. But sometimes there are things that you can find on like an off seller website. And you're recycling something and bringing life to something that was just going to sit in somebody's closet. Mm-hmm. Like of my dresses that just sit in my closet. So, I hardly ever wear shoes when I'm cosplaying. I'm usually barefoot. So, shoes, I wouldn't have the best answer for, because I feel like shoes have become more overpriced and not worth, as far as like the soles go, on the soles lasting a long time. I feel like those have decreased in value, but gone up in price.
Yeah. And that's a testament too. Like, you don't have to do all of
it again.
Right. For the most part.
Usually you're not seeing my feet. Right. I hate my feet anyway, so I'm probably never going to show anybody my feet. They're gross. Even if like it was like a Rapunzel moment, you're still not getting my feet.
Yeah.
Ever. Nobody wants to see that.
No Cinderella.
Right.
Put in the glass slipper.
I have answers to quite a few questions I think that people would ask. And I think that there are a lot more affordable options than people realized. And what's cool about the investment of cosplaying your own character is, though you did have to pay a little bit of money for it, you get to keep that.
Mm-hmm.
For any time.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to use it and pop it out. And then as far as becoming the character, I'm neurodivergent, so masking is very easy for me. That's why I love theater and acting, is because I'm like, it's my time to shine. I can do that. I can pretend to be that for however long I need to. Because this reminds me of this person over here, and I can do that. I think this is like such a great strength for any like author or any like person in general that wants to do something like this. Like, I feel like being neurodivergent, it's like, this is your time. Like, all of those like things that, you know, we shouldn't have had to do to survive can be like focused over here on creating something, which I just think is so badass. But going away from that, I think that finding a good audio that you vibe with could be a good way to pop into character, because that might distract you from feeling like you're something other than yourself. If that's something that makes somebody feel uncomfortable to be somebody else, I think that could be a distraction, because you're just like, this is so cool. I like this. Yes. And I think that even if you do break character, I think people watching it would still get enjoyment out of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you would too. And it would just become easier over time because you're used to doing it at a certain point in time. But if you don't try it, you're never going to know.
I also think,
or become better.
It does require you to lose a little bit of hubris, put it aside, you know, because the point is visibility, right? And so you can't be like really hypercritical the product, because the point is for people to see it, right? And they're going to see it as not as yourself. That's the point. And so you've got to drop your personal ego and pride in order to take on that ego and pride of the character, which if you're not somebody who has done a lot of theater or performance arts, that's a hard idea to think of. But costuming can be a huge help on that.
I think it does help. I think about my friends that are makeup artists, and all of them will tell you the reason why they continue to do what they do. And it's not for vanity, because I know some people are like,
right.
But it's to make somebody feel like they're beautiful. Like if you don't see yourself that way, it feels like an opportunity to showcase you in a way that others see you and you don't see that. So to highlight these features that you may take for granted or you never noticed before. Maybe you're just like, oh, I hate my eyes. But now, you know, they've been highlighted and pushed to the forefront. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty. I feel pretty. And so I think that it's with cosplay, I think it's kind of like one and the same. I feel like putting on the wig, the contacts, those things make it feel different. Not for everybody, but I feel like for some people, it would be, they'd be like, I'm not me. And can disassociate from that part that you're doing this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
As you should do this for yourself, you're helping yourself. And so you're just like, okay, cool. I'm not going to think about posting this. Maybe nobody will ever see this. I'm just going to do this right now and see how I feel about it a few days later. And even I do that because I have a ton of bad days where I had one recently that like I posted and like I cried in between like filming for it. And it's not supposed to be something that like you'd be crying with, and because I just felt so bad. I was not in the mood to film, but I needed to. It needed to be done.
Yeah.
And so I think that when you let something sit for a bit, you did what you needed to do, and then you're like, I may never post this. That's okay. I did it. But maybe next week, you may look at it and be like, I like this. Cool. We're going to post. I feel good today. We're going to post that. Yeah. I feel better about it now.
Another one, I had this idea. I might do this, actually. So if you see this is over the summer, people, then you'll know where this idea came from. But I think a really effective way to do it, too, rather than like trying to come up with like a skit or an audio or something, dress up as your character and do a live session as your character. Ask me anything.
Yeah.
Me in the form of the character. Yeah. And then
Nicole Devon / eBooked Babe, that was an idea that she had. To do, I think she talked about this last year, not for herself. This was just an idea that she popped out, was that, you know, we like somebody could be interviewing like their character. So
just sit and back,
like, and you know, you have the circumstances that it's under and stuff. And with speaking of her, if you have not gone to eBooked Babe or Nicole Devon for ideas, she has some of the best ideas. She has so many. She's full of them. They're like popping out of her, and just like waiting to be explored. But yes, I think that would be so much fun, because there's so many different ways that you could do that with your character, especially like this, you know, what's your favorite color and how would like, you know, this person respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody would be like, ooh, gross. Don't talk to me.
Deal. Yeah. And that's like, you know, that's very low, like startup, right? You don't need a lot in order to start with that. You don't have to come up with like what's trending and what's going to match. It's just you struggling on this character for a little bit and engaging with a potential audience to grab some curiosity and just increase a little bit of visibility for your work. So awesome. Okay, so we're going to wrap up. Before we go, can you let everybody know where we can find you and how to reach out to you if we are interested in working with you?
Yeah. You can find me at Thea Vicious Cosplay on Instagram. The best way to reach out to me that I respond more quickly is through DMs on Instagram, direct message. I love getting those. I love getting voice notes because I like sending them. So if you find it easier to send me a voice note, I don't find that weird because I will probably respond with one. The next best place you can find me is through email. I do have my email on my my homepage, and I have my Google form if you just want to fill that out and let me see that. I have that posted in my bio as well.
Perfect. And is there anything exciting coming up for you in this next season?
Yes. So in October, I'll be influencing at a fantasy event for Spellbound in the Valley. This will be in Poughkeepsie, New York, October 24th and 25th. Tickets are still available. And it is going to be an event that focuses on the spooky side of books, and the ball is going to have this like whole like immersive spooky experience where you can choose to dress up, and there'll be a contest for who is the spookiest. There is also an opportunity, if tickets are still available, to be able to take a believe it's a graveyard tour, if I'm not mistaken, think is amazing. Elvestine, the host, absolutely incredible person. And I know that this event is just going to be fabulous and a lot of fun. And there are some incredible authors that are attending. I'm very excited.
Yay. Are you allowed to tell us who you're cosplaying as for this event?
Yeah, so I am cosplaying as Lei, and the author is Britt K.S. I'm super, I haven't shown the costume yet because I'm waiting until it's closer to time, but I'm super excited to show it. I will be cosplaying a couple other characters, but that's the character I will be taking to the ball, and I can't wait to show the final result of the costume to her as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. Awesome. Well, thank you, Thea, so much for today. This has been really great. And I will have your handle linked in the show notes. So if anybody is interested in reaching out, you can find that there. And we are so thankful for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.